Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff and I'm here with Robin Martinez. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Joyce.
Yeah, so we're going to talk today about Sjogren's syndrome and help to celebrate April, which is the Sjogren's syndrome awareness month. And we have with us today Stephen Taylor, who is President and Chief Executive Officer of the Sjogren's Syndrome Foundation. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Thanks. So, Robin, you're the one who suggested we first talk with Sjogren's. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about why you feel it's very important for all of us to be aware of this syndrome?
Sure thing, Joyce. Sjogren's syndrome is an autoimmune problem that shows up mostly in women, but sometimes in men. The first symptoms that are noticed are often dry eyes or dry mouth, not just a little dry, very, very dry. And unfortunately, many people think, oh, this is just a minor problem involving your eyes and your mouth. And that is not correct. Sjogren's is a systemic disease. It can be a very serious disorder. It can affect organs throughout the body. It just shows up first, most noticeably first, in the eyes and mouth. And after that, it can go anywhere. It can lead to development of other autoimmune problems. And patients have a very hard time getting a diagnosis, being treated correctly, getting symptom relief, getting dentists who know the problem, finding doctors who know the problem. So it's an under-recognized disorder. And at smartpatients.com, we have a wonderful group for Sjogren's syndrome, and people come there. We have thousands of members who come and talk about their experiences, how to get a diagnosis, what doctors are Sjogren's friendly, and much more. But we thought it would be a great idea, as we're coming up into April, which is Sjogren's Awareness Month, to talk a little bit about this little-known disorder and how people discover it and what happens and all the things that go along with it. And so we're very happy to have Stephen with us today to talk about it. Stephen?
Well, thank you very much. I can surely jump in and just share a little information to start and have an open dialogue regarding Sjogren's. But I think Robin and Joyce, you did a great setup in regards to the disease sometimes being trivialized to just dry eye and dry mouth, although we know that over 90% of our patients have dry eye or dry mouth. Other symptoms patients will recognize before they get diagnosed are going to be joint pain and fatigue, but the disease is rampant throughout the whole body. It's a systemic, serious disease that has a whole host of symptoms and complications, but can attack the internal organs and pretty much any body organ and system, so the central nervous system, as well as all the internal organs. And so getting diagnosed is so important, and getting diagnosed faster so you can be monitored for some of those serious side effects of the disease. Although not everyone will have those serious issues, they do need to be watching for them. In addition, the joint pain fatigue can be disabling, where people aren't able to work or perform their normal life functions. And of course, dryness in the eyes and the mouth are also extremely discomforting, but also can be disabling. For example, if you have a career that is speaking, teaching, traveling the country, dryness of the mouth and throat where you can't talk and you have a problem with pronunciation can cause challenges with careers as well. And then you can imagine if you have dry eyes where you have to put eye drops in 8, 10, 12 times a day, that can equally be challenging as well. So the disease is definitely life-altering, as we say, and patients have to come to realization that their life changes a little bit with the disease. But then again, many of our patients do live the regular life expectancy, but with challenges throughout their life. But getting diagnosed is the first step and so very, very important.
Absolutely, and getting a diagnosis often isn't that easy. we have people who went for 6 or 8 years trying to find out what is wrong with me, because they'd never heard of Sjogren's syndrome. Their doctor, their general doctor, generally had never heard of it, or if they had, thought it was a very minor thing. And so people have a very hard time getting a proper diagnosis. And really, one of the problems with Sjogren's is sometimes all you have to go by are symptoms. You may not have test results that are positive until you've had the disease for years and years and antibodies have had a chance to build up in your system. So a clinical diagnosis is just as good as diagnosis from test results. Now, one of the things the Sjogren's Foundation has that is really great is a little diagram, a picture of a nice-looking, lovely businesswoman with arrows going all over her body showing the different areas that Sjogren's can affect and how it is affected. Stephen, how did that graphic come to be developed? Do you know?
Yeah, I helped develop that with my staff, and volunteers helped us write that. Actually, patients helped us write that. The challenge with the disease, we have a saying at the foundation called "This is Sjogren's," because everyone lives with Sjogren's a little bit differently, and everyone has different challenges. What's shocking to people when they get diagnosed is that all of these various complications they might have been living with are symptoms of Sjogren's. They just never realized it. So things like neuropathy, Raynaud's, dry skin, vaginal dryness, joint pain, fatigue, muscle pain, all these things can be symptoms and complications of the disease, hair loss, et cetera. And there's just, it goes all over the board in regards to how many symptoms and complications patients can have. And so this is Sjogren's campaign developed that sheet that you talk about. There's actually a male version as well. So there's one with a male on it, one with a female on it. And it really just points out how many complications can happen with the disease. And it makes a patient realize that, because in the system, sometimes the healthcare system, they do start to feel a little crazy because some of their symptoms don't seem to go together, and they find themselves, maybe it is in their mind. And sometimes doctors tell them that some of their symptoms are more psychosomatic in their mind and they should talk to a psychologist or a counselor, when in reality, they are really having these symptoms and complications and they are a sign of Sjogren's. So that's why we developed that campaign, so people didn't feel so alone and felt that, that you know, we were with them and understood and listen to them about all these complications they were experiencing.
Yeah, that's really helpful, because people have said, you know, my doctor says this isn't related or that isn't related. And there are lots and lots of things that are, including brain fog.
Yes.
Would you like to tell us something about that?
Yeah, I talk about brain fog, and I'd like to go back to diagnosis a little bit too, but brain fog is a big challenge for our patient population. So when I say brain fog, that means middle of the sentence forgetting your daughter's name, or forgetting a street that you grew up on or a street that you currently live on, or being in a project and losing focus on your project and not realizing where you even are in that project at work or at home. And so a lot of patients have that, you know, have brain fog in a way in life in general. We all are forgetting where our car keys are, but this is a little more frequent. It's not a sign of Alzheimer's. It's not a sign of senility, although some patients are told maybe it is, but there's some amazing experts in Sjogren's that can work with patients to realize, is it the beginning of maybe a senility or an Alzheimer's, or is it your Sjogren's causing it? Typically, if you have Sjogren's, it is probably causing the central nervous system and cognitive functioning problems with your brain. And so it's not a sign of, dementia or Alzheimer's. So you want to get to a doctor that understands it, recognizes the disease, so they can talk to you about some tools and tips to try to overcome that brain fog, possibly put you on some medications to either slow down the progression of Sjogren's or help you with some of those symptoms that you're having. So it's so important, like I mentioned, about getting diagnosis. I do want to spend a minute on diagnosis. I thought I'd go back there if that's okay with you, Joyce and Robin.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. I thought I just mentioned the challenge, and I'm sure your patients who listen to this, I mean, what a great segment called Powerful Patient, because the patient is so powerful in their diagnosis journey. No matter if they have Sjogren's or not, it's so critical how you present your case to a doctor. And, you know, I travel the country talking to patients, but also talking to healthcare professionals. I started interviewing. I have a YouTube channel that has a show around the disease. And we talked to a lot of doctors. And one doctor I just recently talked about is oftentimes patients come in there with a long story, and they're trying to get a diagnosis. So they're, coming in with challenging symptoms and things, but the way they tell their story is like dropping a 1,000-piece puzzle on the ground, and then they pick up a piece at a time, no coordination how they're putting the puzzle together for the doctor. So I always tell patients that I've had for years, that was an interesting symbolic view of it, but I've always told patients, when you go to your doctor, you need to have a doctor that knows all of your complications, symptoms, and healthcare history. Sometimes in Sjogren's, for example, patients never tell them that they've been at the dentist with tooth decay every 3 to 6 months for the last 10 years. They never tell them that because, let's face facts, I never thought my primary care physician would care about my dental decay. Most of our Sjogren's patients have said the same thing before they got diagnosed. They never realized it was a sign of a systemic disease. So you go to your primary care, or OBGYN, as many women do as primary care physicians, and you go there and you don't mention your tooth decay. So you also don't mention your dry eye issues in our disease because you think that you're in a silo. You have an ophthalmologist and optometrist handling your eyes. You have a dentist handling your dry mouth, never thinking those two even could be connected. But who would think those symptoms, tooth decay, could be connected to joint pain, or tooth decay could be connected to fatigue? And so you go to your doctor as a woman, for example, because 90% of patients are women, and you talk about fatigue or you talk about joint pain, and the doctor, rightfully so, will go where the most common symptom is and where it might lead, which might mean something like osteoarthritis or somewhere where you might have beginning of arthritis. So if you're talking about joint pain, because you never told them about the dryness symptoms you were having because you didn't think it even mattered. So they go down that road for a while and they treat you with your, you know, NSAIDs and other things to help with the arthritis pain until you're down the road a year or two till they realize you have other symptoms, and then they start putting the dots together. So I always tell patients is to make sure you're telling your doctor, and this goes for any disease you're going to be diagnosed with, write down your story in bulleted form of the various complications you're having. Do not forget things that you think are ancillary, dry mouth, tooth decay, eye issues, you know, styes in your eye, an ear infection, anything you might think is ancillary might be a bullet point that the doctor might connect with something else on that list. Give that to your doctor so they can examine it. Because sometimes when we tell our story, we go off the far end in telling a story. I'm the same way. I start telling a story, and then next thing I know, I'm talking in details. The doctor doesn't even need to really know which day my appointment was. I think it was a Tuesday. Maybe it was a Thursday I went to that doctor. I don't remember. To a doctor, they need the facts and some bullets, and they need a full picture of it so they can kind of put it together. And I think that that will help everyone get diagnosed faster in any disease if you present to one doctor all these symptoms. Now, we have an amazing healthcare system. So oftentimes, I've been guilty of it myself, we jump from doctor to doctor trying to help ourselves with a diagnosis. And sometimes our mistake is by going to too many doctors and not going to one doctor and presenting the whole case to them. Or going, even if we do jump doctors, make sure you're presenting the same case to every doctor, not trying to self-evaluate yourself and what that doctor might care about. So you might go to a neurologist and think they only care about your neurology symptoms. They might care about all these other things because it might paint a different picture for them. So I always tell patients, make sure you write that story down in bulleted form and present it to the doctor so they can quickly look through. They're trained. They went to medical school for years. Something's going to jump out on that list that you would never think would jump out and hopefully could get you a faster diagnosis with anything you might be looking for, not just Sjogren's. In Sjogren's, we know it takes an average now of 2.8 years to get a diagnosis, which is down from where it used to be. It used to be 6 years. And before, when I first joined, we were almost up to 10 years to get a diagnosis, but we're very proud we've gotten it down to 2.8 years. But still, the challenge has been is, as I mentioned, you go to so many specialists that sometimes you forget to tell one doctor all of your symptoms. So that's where we found the fastest movement in diagnosis was making sure patients knew to go to one doctor and tell them all their symptoms and not forget things that they don't think the doctor would care about, like tooth decay in our disease or dry eye in our disease. And so that will help, I think, all the patients that listen to your podcast hopefully get a better diagnosis for anything they're looking for is by writing those bullet points down and bringing it to every appointment they go to till they get a diagnosis.
Right. And that also we were talking about brain fog. Brain fog really interferes with getting a diagnosis because you can wander off the point. You can forget, oh, my golly, I forgot to mention this really big problem that I've been having with my teeth or my eyes or my joints or whatever. And you haven't painted the full picture. So having it written down so that you can present an organized and forceful presentation about all these things that are going on can really help a lot.
I also think I just want to mention the same thing goes after you get a diagnosis. To be a powerful patient and be able to, you know, help with your treatment plan long-term too, same thing goes for your regular appointments once you have a diagnosis of any disease, is when you go to a doctor, is to bring a sheet of the symptoms or questions you have for that appointment so that the doctor knows where you want to go in that appointment. It's almost like an agenda, because you'll get a lot better care if you go with that versus jumping all over the board in your appointment. Two reasons. One is if the doctor gets the list and you give them a copy, and you don't just keep the copy in front of you, but give it to them to look at, they can look quickly down and triage those questions you have and say, questions 2 and 8 and 6 aren't going to matter today. Those are long-term questions. We'll get to them in your next appointment. But this number 3 question does concern me. That way, they're not waiting for you to kind of – they don't know how many questions you have on your sheet if you keep it in front of you and don't give it to them. And you'll get way better care long-term if you give them that sheet, because, like I said, they can go through and quickly put you at ease around some of the questions and say, you know, you don't have to worry about this, Robin, right now. We'll get to this to the next appointment. But let's talk about 3 and 5, because those things sound a little concerning to me. Let's talk about the migraines you've been having, or let me talk about this issue that you've been having with this other thing, because those do concern me. And then you'll get better care long term. But with brain fog, or even our nervousness when we're in a doctor's office, we jump all over. And then how many times have we went to our car and said, I actually went in there because I've been having headaches, and we never talked about it. We talked about my knee problem. And so by having that list that you give to your doctor when you get in there, they can help focus in on what you really want to talk about during that appointment.
I think that's excellent advice. Some people suggest emailing that first. Emailing it to your doctor's office before you go in, and then taking a copy with you just in case the doctor hasn't had a chance to look at it.
Yep.
But if he has it in his, if the doctor has it in their hands beforehand, they can glance at it and say, oh, this item here, we've got to talk about that.
That's right. That's right.
So,
Joyce, did you want to add something?
I was just going to say that that's excellent advice for everyone. And I think one of the complaints that people sometimes have is when they have a long story, the doctor will interrupt them. And I think the doctor is more likely to interrupt you if you're wandering, and less likely to interrupt you if you're focused and have it written down. So I think that's really, really good advice for everyone.
Yeah, this rheumatologist I just met with told me that exact kind of same thing. They said, you know, when you're rambling, they get lost, and they're trying to listen to the key things they've been trained to hear, listen for. And so when you're organized and helpful to them, that can help them. Like, that 1,000-piece puzzle does not help them if you're picking up a piece at a time to tell them your story, and you happen to be picking up pieces that have nothing to do with your health care. You're telling them how many kids you have and you know, how you work, and they're trying to get to the underlying cause of your problem and diagnose you. So keeping your story organized and presenting it to them helps them with the longevity of your story, how it began, what the symptoms you've had over the years or the year or 6 months, whatever it is, so they can hopefully see some key words in there and jump out and start to focus in on a diagnosis. We know when someone mentions tooth decay and joint pain in a doctor's appointment, they're going to get a Sjogren's diagnosis way faster, because a doctor knows Sjogren's. Even though people don't think doctors know Sjogren's, primary care, they know it when it's dryness and joint pain and fatigue. They don't know it when you just come in and talk about joint pain. They're not going to go there. They're going to go to the more common symptoms that they see over and over again, arthritis, et cetera. They're not going to go to Sjogren's immediately, because you haven't even mentioned the dryness symptoms. So that's why the whole spectrum of your symptoms are important to a doctor to get a diagnosis. And then in treatment, the same thing, it's going to help you, as I mentioned. In addition, I mentioned to Robin and Joyce earlier too, is the idea of making sure you're finally, when you're diagnosed with any disease, whatever it might be, Sjogren's or another, is that you're at a doctor that recognizes and appreciates that disease. And sometimes we've been taught that doctors are on a pedestal and we feel bad going for a second opinion, or we feel bad moving to a different doctor because of loyalty for some reason. And reality is that doctor just might not have focused in on Sjogren's for their career. Nothing wrong with them. They're a lupus expert. They're a rheumatoid arthritis expert and amazing at that. They just haven't focused on Sjogren's for years. So going and switching to a doctor that has focused their career on Sjogren's will definitely get you longer term care and the respect for the disease that you have. Now, that's not saying a doctor that's focused on lupus and RA won't appreciate Sjogren's or won't learn more about it for you, because other doctors, there's amazing examples of doctors that didn't know that much, started working with one or two patients, and have become Sjogren's experts because they've really cared to learn. But sometimes it's okay to go and switch to a different doctor, and we have to be okay with that, because sometimes we kind of forget that we do pay for our health care. You know, even if you're on Medicare, you're on Medicaid, or you're on private health insurance, we're paying for it somewhere. And so sometimes we seem to be okay with the service we get when it's not really the service we'd expect. I always tell people, when you go in and get your flat tire fixed at the car dealership and you don't get the answers, you don't get it fixed, I mean, you drive off, it's still flat, you'd either turn around and go back and say, you didn't fix my flat tire. But one thing I guarantee you, won't go back to that service station to fix something again. So the same thing in the healthcare community. Now, it's not always possible, I understand, to switch doctors because of plans, et cetera. But if you're not getting the care you want, sometimes it's worth switching to go where you need to go.
Well, and you may not Absolutely. Need to actually switch. You can always get a second opinion, and every insurance plan will approve for you to get a second opinion. So just going to an expert doctor for a consultation and getting some more guidance on it, when that expert doctor says, this is Sjogren's, and then you take that back to your normal doctor, you're going to get a lot more credibility.
And also, sometimes you do have to drive to go to a center for any disease, but Sjogren's, for example, you might have to drive to a center. There are some Sjogren's experts in different major cities. Sometimes once a year, visiting that expert who really knows about the disease, who will work with your local rheumatologist in the state that you live in, is worth that investment, because they really know Sjogren's, plus your doctor will start to learn from them. And doctors right. do appreciate that. They don't always take offense if you're up front with them and forward saying, hey, I've heard about this amazing doctor in Philadelphia. I think I'm going to go visit them to get kind of a consultation and bring back to you what they say. They appreciate right. that, because they want to help you long-term, these doctors. They're not trying to make your life more difficult. They will want to help you, and they'll want to hear from that expert. And if you're willing to drive that and pay that maybe a consultation appointment, if you have to pay a little bit for it, they're okay with that usually. They appreciate that second opinion and that advice once a year, once every other year, that you might go back to that for that consultation.
Another thing that I think people don't realize is that we may not even recognize what the problem is. For a while, I was having occasional bouts of really blurry vision. Mm-hmm. And it turned out my eyes were very, very dry. But I didn't know that. I didn't feel that my eyes were dry. I didn't realize that was the problem. And I had to go in and talk to the doctor and get all kinds of tests. And they looked at my tear quality and they said, this is the problem. And in my case, it wasn't Sjogren's. It's just very dry eye. But I have to use a prescription eye drop and an over-the-counter eye drop. And I've got punctal plugs, which are plugs in the tear ducts, which keep your tears from escaping from your eyes so that your eyes stay more moist. But I know people have the same problem with dry mouth. They may not realize that everybody That's right. doesn't have this problem, you know, and, oh, I need a mint. I need a drink of water. I need a piece of chewing gum. My voice is giving out, and they don't realize it's because their mouth is so dry.
And they're used to that new normal. So they kind of go, well, maybe because I'm 50, you know, that's starting to happen. Maybe I am going to be a little drier. Or the great example of blurred vision, no one would think it's dryness. They think, oh, I'm having eyesight problems. So having making sure you're telling your doctor the very symptoms you're having, because there are answers. But also, I'll go back to what you said earlier, too, about smart patients, that the discussion board and website Smart Patients has been amazing for patients, and we're so proud to partner with Smart Patients, because you can go there and get a little validated as well. So you can put in there, has anyone in the Sjogren's Smart Patients Board, put in there, has anyone experienced hair loss? Has anyone experienced blurred vision? Whatever the crazy symptom that you're not sure if maybe A, it's a little bit in your mind, maybe B, it's not connected to your Sjogren's, if you put it in there or search for it, you're going to find someone that had some similar experience, or possibly hundreds of people say, of course, blurred vision is a part of Sjogren's and dryness. You should talk to your eye care provider about what you can do. You'll feel at least not alone, and you'll feel validated, and then you'll have some information to go to your doctor with and know that it's not, you know, in your mind or that it is a part of Sjogren's. So the Smart Patients Board to share with peer-to-peer, patient-to-patient has been incredible for that very reason as well.
Right, and the people on Smart Patients will also help newcomers. For example, here, go to Sjogren's Foundation and look up this page.
That's right.
And copy it out and take it to your doctor.
Yep.
And
yep.
It will explain exactly what's going on with you.
Yeah, and on our website, so right now, Sjogren's.org is our website. We will be still Sjogren's.org, but in April, we have a brand new website launching that will be totally a new look. Everything will be brand new about our website. We're very excited. But what will remain is the great information that we have onto our new site. And for example, you mentioned this, but on our site, we have 28 different fact sheets on various issues with Sjogren's. So we have some great brochures about the disease itself. But these are one-page sheets. For example, on brain fog, we have a sheet. We have a sheet on burning mouth. We have a sheet on muscle and joint pain. We have a sheet on travel in Sjogren's. We have a sleep and insomnia sheet. We have a sheet on pregnancy in Sjogren's. Pediatric Sjogren's, we're seeing an increase in younger people get diagnosed. So we have all these amazing fact sheets that give you tips written by doctors about how to deal with those various symptoms. They're also great to bring to your doctor, which validate you, because we have a sheet on it, which means that it's a concern for us, a foundation, and many other patients. It also educates your doctor possibly a little bit too if they aren't as familiar. So I encourage people to go to Sjogren's.org to see all those sheets. And of course, in April, you're going to see a brand new website, which will be updated fresh. And we're very excited about that as well.
That's great.
Great.
One thing I know, I think you have a fact sheet on salivary gland massage.
We do. Yep.
And that's something that nobody has ever heard of, even many Sjogren's patients, until they have the problem. And it's really amazing what a difference that can make to just do a very simple little massage of your salivary glands,
yep.
And you can suddenly feel yourself salivating and your mouth gets wetter.
Yeah, it's usually because of either a stone or a mucus plug that might be causing up some salivary gland. And so by massaging it, and there's actually visuals on our fact sheet about how to do that, and that can happen to non-Sjogren's patients as well, you know, but you can get stones or plugs in those salivary glands. So, and it can be very painful when you're trying to sleep or you're eating or drinking. And so massaging them and trying to get them the mucus out of there or the stone out of there is so critical. So that sheet patients find a lot of support from and have found it very, very helpful for sure.
So this has been wonderful. We're down to the last 2 minutes of the show. So Robin and Stephen, what messages do we particularly want to leave with people?
I just want to mention real quickly before we end, because of the timeliness of it around, you know, the coronavirus and COVID-19, is to make sure whatever disease you may have, obviously you're not just all Sjogren's patients listening, is to make sure you're talking with your medical care provider about your risk factors and making sure that you're being careful and safe. We have on our news section of our website our precautions for Sjogren's patients of things they should be doing. For example, some patients don't think this, but every time they apply an eye drop or a mouth product or a dry skin product, wash their hands with soap and water before they do that. In addition, a lot of your patients might be dealing with autoimmune diseases on your website and on your podcast here, is the idea that Plaquenil, which many patients are prescribed for various diseases, is being used for the coronavirus as well. There may become a shortage in Plaquenil because of the use of that, if it starts to increase the use of that for coronavirus. So I'm encouraging our patients to make sure they get refills as soon as they are able to, or that their insurance will allow, or try to get a 90-day supply of Plaquenil if they're on that as well. And all their other medications, make sure that they're stocked for them as well. But go to our website. We'll have continuous updates on COVID-19 and what our patients were suggesting for our patients. But I want to make sure we got that out since it's so timely as well.
Wonderful. Robin?
About prescriptions, remember that many insurance companies have rules on how much you can, how soon you can refill your prescription and how many pills you can have on hand. But many of them have loosened up those restrictions during this time of pandemic so that you don't have to go in and get a refill as often as normal. And that's a big help to patients.
Thank you so much, Stephen Taylor from the Sjogren's Foundation and Robin Martinez from Smart Patients. And we hope that everyone listening will be well, especially in these exceptional times, and always be a powerful patient. Thanks so much.
Thank you.